said, I'm Josh Summerford. I'm a master's student at the University of Arkansas, and my study focuses on the cultural practices to improve the performance of overseeded meadow fescue and tetraploid ryegrass. And overseeding is done for a variety of reasons. One of the main reasons is aesthetics. The green playing surface just looks a lot better than the dormant Bermuda grass that would be there, and for uses such as baseball, it'll actually recover where the dormant grass won't. Traditional overseeding grasses, perennial ryegrass, is pretty much the standard. It's widely used because of its good color and quality. Annual ryegrass, intermediate ryegrass, fine fescue, and Poa trivialis are all also used for overseeding. And new publications have recently brought to light two new species that have shown the possibility for overseeding due to an easier spring transition. So, brief background of these two species. Tetraploid ryegrass is a Lolium perenne, which is the same species as diploid perennial ryegrass, which all major cultivars are natural diploids. And using chromosome doubling techniques, tetraploids of these Lolium perenne have been produced that show promise for overseeding due to their easy spring transition. And meadow fescue is the other species, and its Festuca pratensis has also been classified as Festuca alacea. It's been used extensively in European pastures, but again, due to its ease of transition, it's being looked at as a possible overseeding species. And with these new species comes some questions about how to maintain these species, such as the responses to cultural practices, mowing height, nitrogen rate, seeding rates, and traffic tolerance, as well as herbicide issues such as Poa annual management and transition, which will be covered by another graduate student from the university with a poster and a presentation. So with these questions, the objective of my study is to determine a set of best management practices to provide optimal turf quality from overseeded meadow fescue and tetraploid ryegrass. The experimental area for my study was at the University of Arkansas Research and Extension Center, and it was replicated on two sites, a sand cap site and a native silt loam site. The Bermuda grass variety on the silt on the sand site was Riviera, and the Bermuda grass variety on the native soil site was a Tifway. Both sites were maintained as an overseeded Bermuda grass sports field. Overseeding was done on September 20th, 2006, and it was seeded at 34,000 pure live seeds per meter squared. And just to give you an idea of how much this is, it's equivalent to about 12.5 pounds of pure live seed per 1,000 square feet of diploid ryegrass, 23.5 pounds of pure live seed per 1,000 square feet of tetraploid ryegrass, and 13 pounds of pure live seed per 1,000 square feet of meadow fescue. And as you can see on here, the diploid ryegrass seed is about twice as large as the tetraploid ryegrass is about twice as large as the diploid and meadow fescue, and that results in a much higher seeding rate. So my treatment and experimental design, the setup of this was a strip split plot design, and our first strips on this were our species, which as you can see here, the meadow species strip is highlighted, and they're denoted by these three colors here. Within each species strip, we had a split of nitrogen rate applied as urea and watered in at 2.5, 5, and 7.5 grams per meter squared per month. Our next strip was the mowing height strip, which was applied in strips across all species, and the mowing height was applied at rates of, applied at heights of 0.64, 1.27, and 1.9 centimeters. Now, the split within each mowing height strip was traffic, which was split into two treatments, and we had a no traffic rate and a high rate of 3 times per week. This resulted in 54 individual plots per block with 4 blocks, so 216 individual plots to look at for each replication. Traffic simulation was performed using a KD traffic simulator, as described by Henderson et al. In 2005. The KD was chosen because it simulates both the compactive and shear forces of traffic, and evaluations were performed as visual quality ratings biweekly on a scale of 1 to 9, with 9 being optimal turf grass quality, 6 being acceptable turf, and 1 being completely dead turf. Cover analysis was analyzed using digital images as described by Richardson et al. In 2001. And this was performed weekly, and what we did with this was used a light box setup to take digital images, which were then run through SigmaScan, and SigmaScan overlays every pixel within these images that's within a threshold that you determine, such as a green threshold for cover, and it overlays with these red pixels, and it'll count and average the percent of green pixels that are within these images and give you a green turf cover. Isn't that cool? Data analysis was performed as a 3 or 4 factor repeated measure strip split plot design using Proc Mixed and SAS. The 3 factor design was pre-traffic, which was carried out in the spring, and the 4 factor was the mowing height by nitrogen rate by species by traffic, and traffic was applied in the spring. Sorry, the pre-traffic was fall, post-traffic spring. Get that right eventually. For significant main effects and interactions, treatment means were separated using Fisher's LSD with a significance of 0.05. And I was told to be thorough, so now we're going to spend a couple hours going through this ANOVA table and breaking down each interaction. Not really. This is just the ANOVA table for my post-traffic data. And from this and the pre-traffic, we selected about 4 charts that we were going to discuss today and not take up your whole afternoon. So you can see we have 2 quality charts from pre-traffic and 2 cover charts from post-traffic that have a pretty good representation of the data that we collected. So in this first chart, we're going to look at quality as a function of species by date. You can see here quality is along the y-axis, and along the x-axis we have the dates, and each different colored line represents different species. We have the diploid is yellow, tetraploid is orange, and the meadow fescue is red. And you can see the first date that data was collected here, which is about 6 weeks after planting, that the tetraploid ryegrass is significantly higher quality than the diploid and tetraploid. Diploid and meadow fescue, sorry. And this is likely due to the higher seedling vigor and germination rate of the tetraploid. As we move on, you can see that the diploid and tetraploid remain pretty similar throughout the study, with meadow fescue having very poor performance during the cold months. So this next chart, we're looking at quality again along the y-axis, with mowing heights along the x-axis, and they're each grouped by mowing height, and there's the 3 species are represented within each mowing height. You can see at the low mowing height, the diploid performed better than the tetraploid and the meadow, with the meadow fescue having very poor quality at the low mowing height. At the medium and high mowing heights, the diploid and tetraploid performed equally well, with the meadow fescue again having poorest performance. Okay, now the cover charts. This is where it gets a little complicated. We have cover as a function of percent on the y-axis. Again, we have date on the x-axis. And within each subchart here, we have each of the species. And for this chart, we're looking at mowing height. And you can see, again, it's related to color. We have the yellow for low, orange for medium, red for high. And these lines represent cover percents without traffic. This whole chart is without traffic. You can see that diploid's right at 100%. The tetraploid has a couple spots where it drops down at the low mowing height. Meadow fescue again struggled at the low mowing height. And then when we add the traffic, you can see that it's very drastic changes. The diploid is slightly affected at a couple dates. The tetraploid is a little bit more significantly affected here. And the meadow fescue really struggled at the low mowing heights with the traffic. And even at the medium and high mowing heights, the cover was reduced pretty well by the traffic. And this just shows a few pictures of what each species looked like at the low mowing heights with and without traffic. You can see diploid did fairly well. Tetraploid was a little worse than the diploid, and the meadow fescue had the poorest performance of all 3 species. Now we're going to look again at a cover figure, and we have on this one again cover as a percent on the y-axis, the date across the x-axis here, and each subchart is looking at different mowing heights. So we have low mowing height at the top, medium mowing height, and then the high mowing height. At the low mowing height, and then nitrogen rates are colors here, yellow for low, orange for medium, red for high. At the low mowing height, the diploid struggled a little bit with the lower nitrogen rates. However, at the medium and high rates, it's still up near 100% cover. At the medium and high mowing heights, it's pretty much right at 100% regardless of nitrogen rate. As we add the tetraploid, you can see at the low mowing height that it is significantly reduced in cover compared to the diploid, and you can also tell that higher nitrogen rates did improve the percent cover of the tetraploid. At the medium mowing heights, there's a couple of points that were significant, but there's not really much difference in the study, and at the high mowing height, there is no difference between the tetraploid and diploid at any nitrogen rate. Now we add the meadow fescue species in, and you can see at the low mowing height, it is very much less tolerant of the low mowing height than the tetraploid and diploid at any nitrogen rate. Really seemed to struggle here in April when we had a cold spell. And again, at the medium mowing height, you can see that it is significantly lower than tetraploid and diploid, but at the high rate, it does fairly well, except for a couple of points here. And this, again, is some pictures that show the different nitrogen rates and the effect on traffic tolerance. See, at the low rate, both species had the most damage. At the medium rate, meadow fescue struggled more than the tetraploid ryegrass, and at the high nitrogen rate, tetraploid ryegrass has very little damage, and meadow fescue is still pretty severely damaged. So conclusions from this, tetraploid ryegrass performed very similarly to diploid ryegrass. Overall, the higher nitrogen rates for the tetraploid really bumped up the cover at the low mowing heights, and the tetraploid was slightly less tolerant to traffic than the diploid. Therefore, the tetraploid could be used as a substitute in most applications for the diploid ryegrass. Performed well at all mowing heights. So from this study, you can say that it would be a good substitute. Meadow fescue, on the other hand, showed the lowest overall quality of the three species. Quality was increased at the higher mowing height. However, when traffic was applied to meadow fescue, it really struggled and had poor performance. Nitrogen rates did improve the performance under all treatments, but it still didn't do as well with the cold conditions. Therefore, meadow fescue could be used under low traffic conditions as an overseeding species, and probably should be used more in the southern transition zone than the northern, due to its poor performance with the cold conditions. So with that, I'd like to acknowledge NextGen Research, Pennington Seed, and University of Arkansas Men's Athletic Department for their support, as well as research assistance that was received from two of the technicians at the farm, Josh Landreth and John McCullough. And at this time, I'll take any questions you have. Yes, ma'am. Well, I don't exactly know costs, but I would assume that it would be somewhat adjusted for the higher seeding rates that would be required, but I'm sorry, I don't know costs.